So I'll start by saying good afternoon. Everything that Nelly was sharing about the correction of God and how he had to deal with her and, and exposing to her, I think her hair looks beautiful there. It looks fine to me. But, the fact that the enemy convinced her that it should need to be buried under styles and wigs all the time, the very thing she like teaches against, right? Sometimes, like, we don't believe that we deserve what everybody else deserves. So, listen to me again. We believe for other people things that we won't, or we have trouble believing for ourselves. Does that make sense? We can believe for somebody else's greatness or for somebody else's success and things. And you know that it's entitled, you're entitled to it, but the lie of life and situations make you think that it's somebody else's and not yours. I was listening to this woman today, and she talked about her, she wrote her first book. She's a successful author now. I'm getting tongue-tied. She's a successful author. And she talked about when she wrote her first book that her father's church of 1,900 people, nobody bought her book in her own church. But then God brought her a world from the outside. And I did a social media post about that. Like, don't you dare let that group of people around you determine your worth. There's a million people out there that don't know you, who value you. And I'm seeing that even just in my post and my TikToks and whatever I'm posting. I'm noting friends and family, a lot of people are not checking, liking, commenting at all. But the people outside that don't know me are the ones that are showing the most love and stuff. So I tell you all the time, don't look for your community in your immediate circle. Look for that community that God has created for you. That's where it's supposed to be. So as I'm talking about this and looking at this, I start to come at it from this point. Title of the message is God Loves Me. And when I came again to this revelation that God loves me, and I hope I keep coming to the revelation that God loves me, because I need it and I need to be reminded from time to time. Can the people of God say amen? We need to be reminded sometime that God loves us. We need to, have God confirm to us that he loves us. But to understand what it means by God loves us, well, there's a couple of things that I could touch on today. One of them is whom he loves, he chastens. That means if he loves you, he corrects you. He loves you. He gets the little switch out and he paddles that hiney if you ain't in place where you need to be. He loves you. He deals with you according to the things that are disruptive to the flow he has for your life, meaning he loves me, so then he'll chew me out about the thing that I'm indulging in that is dangerous for the road that he wants me to walk down, or the weight that easily or the sin that besets me. He'll get on me about it because he'll say, well, the level you've reached, you're stuck in this level because you're carrying this load that I keep asking you to release. He loves me means he corrects me. Your generation, or the younger generation especially, is sad because they're taught that if you love me, you'll accept me. And a lot of the next generation, the generation that most of you guys are from, have bought into some of this BS. That means if you love me, you accept me for who I am. You don't fat shame me. You don't slut shame me. It's all these phrases that they come up with to say, I'm okay, you're okay. So it's okay. I'll catch some flack for this, but it's okay. I'm going to also post it on social media that if you're overweight and unhealthy, obese and unhealthy, that it's we should acknowledge and accept you as sexy and all of that and not tell you yet, but your heart is not going to eventually think it's sexy, and you could die from this, And the person who has been obese, I know the health difference, and I'm still not where I want to be, but I know how much different my heart and my blood pressure, my everything else, going to the doctors, it's a difference. not for the vanity of somebody else's eye, for somebody else's eyes to behold me, but for the sake of me being right now and healthy and being able to do what God has called me to do. Now, God loves you, but his love for you is not conditional, but it does have guidelines. There's a reason for it, and there are rules to it, not to his love, but the benefits of his love. And this is what I want to talk about. God's love is unconditional, but the benefits of that love have conditions. What do you mean by that? I'm going to explain more with scripture in a minute, but let me just give it to you. It's plain. I love my kids, but there's a rule of conduct that must be followed for them to have fellowship. You love your family members, but if every time you're around them, they're cussing at you or trying to hit you or treating you a certain way, you know, we have a saying in the hood, right? And around, I'm sure more than the hood, I'm going to love you from a distance, right? I'm going to love you on the other side of the world, because it doesn't change your love, but it does change your fellowship. So even though God loves you unconditionally, our behavior and conduct can interfere with the fellowship. It can interfere with how we flow with God. God, do I need you or do I need other people's attention? Do I need to praise a man or do I need, you know, the appreciation of you? I was talking to somebody and they said to me, you know, you just seem to find a way through things. And God said to me, tell them it's because I can correct when I'm poked without offense. They were really pouring their heart out to me with what they were going through. And all I kept hearing the whole time the person was talking to me was, but God loves you. But God loves you. But God loves you. And I kept bringing the person back to the point of, sir, everything you just described to me is not unique and specific to you. You're not the only person with this struggle. But you're so focused on where you're wrong or what you don't have right that you don't even see anymore that God loves you. And as a result of that, the sin is forever before you. And if it's always in front of you, then you're going to always trip over it. I'm doing what I normally do. Sometimes I push into the end of the message, in the beginning of the message. But I saw a couple of facial expressions. So I'm just going to go ahead and just kind of give you the ending. Then we'll fill in the story. If my sin is in front of me, then there's no other choice for me but to live in it or walk through it consistently. If it's behind me and I'm walking away from it, then my eye is on the prize and not on what I was, and therefore I have a better chance of winning. So I'm learning to keep the sin behind me even in thought. This person was having counselors telling them, you know, write it down and speak to it every day. And I was like, no. Speak to who God has called you, who God has called you to be every day, and leave that behind. I've been stuck on and sharing to myself and everybody who listened to me that word that God gave me, that I put on my social media, that a lot of people have responded to. On the road to doing right, that which is wrong will correct itself. Like, focus on who you're called to be, not where you think you are or what you used to be. You need to be focused on what you're called to be. This is where the power is. This is where my freedom is coming from. Where I could say a couple of weeks ago, I didn't know God was going on financially with him. But there was something inside of me knew something's being changed. You're flipping something so that what I used to depend on no longer becomes a situation. To see him change it as drastically, and those of you who know the number understand what God did. And it was just like that. And then more checks kept following after. And I was like, wow. And I'm not talking about $100. I'm talking about tens of thousands, right? So I saw God. I didn't caught up in the money, But I saw what God did. We said, no, I want you out of this realm now into that realm. And so this realm must be disrupted so that you can focus on the realm I've called you to. Okay, I can live with that. So I want you to turn with me to John chapter 3. And I'm gonna approach a scripture that you've heard a million times from a whole different way. We're going to John 3:16. For God so loved the world, right? And I just, what caught me this time out of, you know how God works with me? I caught the word so loved. I was like, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Okay, yeah, but it's more to it always than what we want to take. This is just the prayer you pray when people get saved. This is the word you use when it was given back then. Jesus wasn't talking about going to church, getting on the altar, getting saved, and being filled with the Holy Ghost. He was talking to the lost tribe of Israel and trying to get them back to a place of fellowship and connection and relationship with God. He hadn't died yet and been resurrected so they could say the sinner's prayer. So he was speaking to them from the place that they were at the time, which was still under the Mosaic law, the Abrahamic covenant. He was speaking to them from where they were. And he's speaking to them to this point. Let's go here. John 3:16. For God so greatly, I'm reading from the Amplified. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave his one and only begotten son so that whoever believes in him or trusts in him as savior shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So he's talking to a people now who are not getting saved yet, quote unquote, church Christian saved. And let's just keep this in perspective. He's not talking to Christians. He's talking to the children of Israel and anybody's ears who would hear him. Because at that point, he had already went to the Samaritan woman. No, he only came for the Jew. No, he healed the Samaritan woman. He said, your faith is greater than any faith I've seen so far. He had already started crossing over, right? So he said, so that whosoever believes, and this is the key. He's telling people, doesn't make a difference who you are, where you are, whosoever believes shall have eternal life. Now, will be saved and have eternal life. Shall be saved and have eternal life. So saved. What is saved? To be delivered. And I'm going to break down saved from the Greek in a minute. But to be saved means to be delivered. Saved doesn't mean you don't go to hell when you die. Think of some things right now that you would like to be saved from. It might even be some people. But think about some situation that you want to be saved from, right? He said, whoever believes in him will be saved. He will be your savior. He will be your deliverer. And then you have eternal life with it. So you're saved from eternal doom. You're saved. You're delivered. Watch this. Let's keep going. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge and condemn, that is to initiate final judgment of the world, but that the world through him may be saved. Listen to this. I'm going to go quick on this. I'm going to move on. So I need you to understand, he did not come to judge the world, and people will take that and say, so Jesus didn't come to judge the world. Not that time. But when he comes again, he is coming to judge. So don't try to twist it and say, see, Jesus don't judge, and neither should you. That's no. He didn't come to initiate judgment this time. Listen close to me. He came this time to offer freedom from judgment so that when he comes this time with judgment, you've already had your out offered to you. I want to make sure we're clear about that. He comes first to offer you the way out. And then he comes again to see if you received what you were supposed to so that you don't have to be judged. Now, I'm going to talk about this just a smidget because this is important for everyday life. God loves me. God loves you. So that means before there's anything that goes wrong or anything that goes out of whack in your life or anything that goes upside down in your life, If you think about it, let's be honest, there was always a moment in a season where God was dealing with you first. Who would bear witness with that? There was checks and balances. There were pokes and pokes. He even had people come, had a donkey come up to you and talk to you. He did it all. You know, I'm talking about some jackasses that you might even know. He had them come up to you and tell you, that person ain't even Christian. I need to listen to them. Yeah, but you know what they said? That donkey was speaking right. And you know it. And you know it. So I'm going to give you an example of my donkey one time in life. So I went downtown to get something. I don't remember where I went. And I wound up in this place. It was a gambling place. It wasn't dice and stuff. It was some arcade type game. And the guy was like saying, well, look, you're almost there. Look, you got the points. If you just had another $10, da, 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 da. And of course, he probably was going to sweep me and rob me out. And right then, that $10 would have been equivalent to maybe $1,000, as tight as my money was back then. So he kept saying, well, I'll hold your place for you. If you come back tomorrow with the other 10, we'll let you go again, blah, 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 blah. And I went home and I'm really wrestling in myself because I was so close to winning like $500. It was like, right, just one more throw could be it. And of course, that throw was going to cost the $10. And of course, that's the one where I'm sure I would have lost. But the man was going to hold my space if I came back the next day with the other $10. So I'm sitting there and I'm wrestling with it and going back and forth. And I'm standing outside a supermarket in the Bronx where I used to live. And neighbor comes walking past me. Me and him would have religious debates and arguments all the time. He's Jehovah's Witness. And he would go try to push, you know, his position and against Christianity, and he would want to try to get into it with me all the time. And of course, I loved it because I loved debating back then so much. And I'm standing there, minding my business, just sitting there. I'm leaning against the fire hydrant. I never forget it. And he comes walking down the block and he says, hey, I said, hey, how you doing? Fine. And he was walking like he was in a rush. He's got two steps, three steps past me. He stopped and he spun back and he came back. I said, here we go, religious debate, right? He walks back and he said, you know, gambling is witchcraft. And he starts going into this whole thing about games of chance. And he starts breaking it down. And I know that this is the Holy Ghost was talking to me. I don't care he's not saved. I know this donkey's speaking to me. And I know he's speaking to me the language that God needs me to hear. And then he turned around, he walked on, went about his business. And I was like, up until then, I thought only somebody spirit-filled and born again through the da-da-da-da-da could speak. No, God will speak to you through whoever he wants to. And that solved it for me. The whole, should I take the turn and go back? Maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't, was dead at that moment. Because I knew and recognized the Spirit of God, even on somebody that may not be what I considered a Christian. And then I've been around people that are so-called Christians filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking tongue, everything. And when they speak, and I know it's Satan, and I know the Spirit of God ain't nowhere on them. So I've come to the realization that my sheep know my voice. I'm not qualifying you all the time through people. I'm qualifying it against the word for sure. But that word was a word that was an answer to my question, and he didn't even know I had that question. And he probably don't even remember he said that to me, but he said it. He said it. Just like Lindsay Mary Turp didn't know what she said to me about the DEI that turned the whole business around. And when I spoke to her about it later, she didn't even remember saying it. So I have the ability to pay attention to when God is speaking because he so loves me that he'll get the answer to me however he needs to get the answer to me. Am I available to hear the answer when he speaks it? So what makes my walk different from a lot of people, listen close, is I will hear even when I don't want to hear. I will hear even when every word of it grinds against my gears and everything I want and decided I want to do the most. I will hear. And that's what makes David a man after God's heart, which we went through this before. He wasn't perfect. He was full of mistakes. But his heart sought God's, and his desire was to be after God. So he was after God's heart. And once you have that, God's love shows itself. So back to the point,
He didn't come to judge and condemn. He comes first to instruct and guide. Then the following determines whether you are judged or not. Because now your actions or your obedience to that instruction causes you increase or hurt. How is that so hard to understand? How many of you have taken some kind of test in your life? I'm not talking about the tests that you got to go through. I'm talking about in school. Just tests that you have to study, and then you got to pass that test. And how many of you know that if you don't study or go over the required learning lessons for this test, when test day comes, you will fail. And on your report card or whatever, your grade will be affected. These things are affected because you didn't take the time to learn in the time of teaching. So you can learn from instruction or you can learn from judgment, but that choice is yours. Now, this judgment that I'm talking about is not the ultimate judgment of God, where there's whether you spend eternal life in the kingdom of God and eternity in hell. That's a whole different judgment. We're just talking about the day-to-day judgment that God says, I love you so much that, listen close to what I'm about to say, I always give you the answers in advance. Always. Whether you choose to listen to them, whether you're paying attention or in submission to them or not, that's on you. But I do give you the instruction beforehand. Whether your emotions or your pride or your arrogance or whatever that reason is, or just the inconvenience that you just don't want to do that, that's okay. So he said, I didn't come to judge and condemn. I came this time to offer you salvation. I came this time to show you the path to the light. I came this time to give you the guidance that you need so that you can get to the side that I've called you to before the storm comes. You can have your house built on the sand, or you can have your house built on the rock. I gave you the information. What are you going to do with it? Listen to me close. That's love. Love means I correct you. It means I chasten you. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He corrects. He deals with you. He gets in your face sometimes. Sometimes it's nice. Sometimes it's harsh. But sometimes, in my experience, it always starts out nice. It gets harsh after a while. Like, okay, because not because he's trying to be mean, but he's saying, I'm really trying to get you to get out the road. This tractor trailer is heading in your direction. And I'm really trying to get, okay, so you refuse to move. Okay, so now you're going to need my grace after impact. But you're going to need my grace. You're going to need my grace. But for now, I'm offering you the out. God so loves the world, not just you, that he is constantly offering the out, be it the eternal out or the temporary out or the situational out. I don't know where you are right now, but I know there's an out. And I know God is offering that out. Are you making this up? No. There's no temptation that taking you that but which is common to man, but God is faithful in all temptations to provide the way of escape. There's always an out. Scripture says he's faithful in every situation. Well, God don't put more on you than you can bear. That's a demonic lying and twisting of that scripture. It says God is faithful not to allow you to be tempted above that which you are able. But in the temptation, he is faithful in all these situations to provide the door out. Maybe you're sitting right there right now saying, God, I need the door out. And then I need you to move in my spirit in the area of obedience, that when you give me the door out, I don't slam it in your face, but I take it. If he loved you enough to die for you, if he loved you enough to come not to judge you initially, but to offer you the way of escape, then it behooves us to take that door whenever it's given. It makes sense that we say, God, show me the way out. I don't care what your situation is right now. I don't care what you may be going through right this moment. I think it would make sense for you to say, take a moment, say, God, show me the door. Show me the way out. Provide for me the way of escape that I have not seen. I keep going around and coming back to this door and walking around and coming back to this door and walking around and coming back to this door. And God may say to you, okay, halfway around, stop. That door, I don't like that door, but that's the door I'm calling you to. I don't want that door, but that's the door. All right, so you're going to go back to the other door again. All right, so we're going to wait a few more times. How many times are you going to walk around this mountain? How many times and not enter into the promise? How many times? I told you now, on the halfway point, stop. Go that way. No, that's going backward. Okay, go back to the door again that you were. And 20 years and 30 years later, you still keep coming back to that same door that's not a door but a wall. So God is showing me, I don't want you to be perfect. I just want you to be submissive. I want you to be quick to hear, quick to receive, quick to repent. Just say, okay, I was wrong about that. What's the truth? And let me accept that truth, even if everything in my spirit fights and kicks against it. This is the thing that I have that makes me, on the level I am, different from a lot of people that I know. I'll just say, fine. I'll just stop doing everything I'm doing and just go a whole different direction, because this is where you're telling me to go right now. But what about this? I was getting so close. It'll be there when you get back. I'll hold it for you. I'll hold the space for you. But right now, I need you here. I watched this recent move of God. It was big move financially, what he did. In this, God is showing me he loves me. Not because I got stuff, or not because he gave me money, because I ain't even buying stuff. Like I said, I popped it. But he loved me enough to trust me to do what he's called me to do. And I want to bring this home on this note. He didn't come into the world to judge you. He's not coming to you today to judge you. He's coming today to you to give you instruction that you can either accept or reject. But whatever decision you make, the outcome of that is on you. It's yours. Nobody but yours. I had a chance to talk to somebody who was going through some stuff yesterday, and they were telling me what they were going through from a perspective of hurt. And I was able to say, brother, I understand. I don't see you any different. I love you. I didn't try to correct it. I didn't try to fix it. I didn't try to turn it around. I didn't try to have all the answers. I just said, you're loved. You're loved by God, so you're loved by me. And if you're not focused on where you think you are and focus on who you know you called to be, where you are will fall off. It'll die. The struggles that you face right now, that's because you keep playing with them. You don't have to deal with them. God has called you something greater. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to die for you, not just so that you can have eternal life when you die, but that you can be saved right here, right now, today. And salvation is not just about what happens after you die. It's about every step of your walk, every step of it. I'm healed. I am blessed. I am prosperous. I'm increasing in the love of who I am in myself in him. I know it. Keep going to my social media posts. One of the posts I put is, listen, you keep trying to control things that you can't control. Control the things you can. The thing you can control is yourself. How you see yourself in God. How God sees you and you lining up with that. Those are the things you can control. Those are the things that God gave you the power to control. I know that sounds like some words of encouragement. But what did Jesus mean when he said, take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. I say to you, God loves you so much that he's given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. There's nothing that you need that God has not provided. What are you going to do about it? I want to bring it home with this. The enemy will try to make you feel every day that you, this is wrong with you, and that's wrong with you, and this is what's missing, and that's what's missing. And guess what? He's absolutely right. But who gives a beat? Because God provided all my needs according to his riches and glory. So I can say to Satan, yeah, I'm all that messed up stuff. But I have the way of escape. And his name is Christ Jesus. And he died for me so that my sins could be covered. So you know what? I accept it. I'll be all that stuff you said. Everything you just said right there, all that and then some. But I tell you what, I'm not, and you are, and that's eternally lost. I'll tell you that. I tell you that I have a way of escape. I'm telling you that my God has provided for me. And guess what else I have? I have forgiveness. I have covering. I have remission of sin. I have things. I have the Holy Spirit living in me. You tried to get to a throne and got thrown out, and I can come before that throne and say, Abba, Father, every day, every minute of the day. This is what I have. Stop trying to make up and hide the shame. Put it up on the shelf. Go ahead with it. And I shared this with my brother. I said, listen, this might seem like an off story, but my God is a blessing. I said, sin don't have, or weaknesses don't have power over you until you surrender to them. I said, I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. Some of you remember, old enough to remember when the first Miss America was black. Vanessa Williams, the actress, she was the first black Miss America. Well, they decided to tarnish her by, they found some photos she took, nude photos for Playboy magazine a while back. And they bought them and they published them and they put them out and they shamed her and they ran out the industry and took the crown back and everything they could to just destroy the system, right? Well, once that got big, then they start going after everybody. Let's see whose pictures else, who else got some pictures out there that we can post so that we can shame them and destroy them. And they start picking these females one at a time, just poking them apart. And they just get on there, try to explain. And I was hungry and I was poor and I'm going to sue them. But they come to this one person. You'll know her as Madonna. They found some pictures on Madonna and they made it known. Well, they said, there's pictures on you coming out. And Madonna's response was, that's fine. I'm sure they're tasteful. And the pictures didn't sell worth nothing to nobody because she didn't care. She didn't let them have that power over her like that. She was like, okay, so put them out. So, okay, I took them. Matter of fact, I put them out first if you want them, you know. And she just shut down the whole show. Because she refused to be controlled by the devil and his antics with shame and guilt and embarrassment. I'm saying the same thing to you. You got redemption in Christ. What I did before I knew Christ, I did it. You ain't gonna shame me with it. You ain't gonna keep, I don't care if I did it last week. Forgetting those things which is behind, I press forward to the market. Well, we got something from you from last week. Well, you may have. God bless you. Have fun with it. You're not going to pull me down with my yesterday when old things have passed away and all things have become new to those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Even if God checked you yesterday, rejoice, be glad, but more important, be free. God loves you. In Jesus' name. Love you guys. Amen.